Well, good morning. How is everyone this morning? You guys happy?
Yes.
Good. Well, I can recognize, I think some parts of this congregation look a little African, so I can feel a little at home. How many African brothers and sisters here? Let's see. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. Makama Yebazibwe. Okay, we've got no Ugandans, so that was a test. Well, man, what a joy it is to be here. And I tell you, you know what gets me most excited about a congregation like this is probably more what I will see in heaven than anywhere I've ever been in my life. And that is exciting. Heaven will be people from every nation, tribe, and tongue coming together to worship Jesus Christ. Amen? What an exciting thing. Well, I am not in Uganda, I can tell, because you guys are a little passive. So you got to make me feel a little bit at home. When I ask you a question, you got to answer. So when I say, do you love Jesus, you need to say what?
Yes.
And you need to say it loud, and you need to say it powerfully, okay? If I say, for I am not ashamed, and I stop, you need to say, of the... Okay, good. And we need to feel at home. We should have fun in church. And we should have fun learning about Christ. Amen? Well, man, I'm excited to be here. Open your Bibles to Matthew 28. And it is an honor to get the privilege to be in this pulpit. I know there are many incredible men who get this honor, and I feel blessed. And so thank you for giving your pulpit to me. I want to help you begin your sabbatical by not having to preach this morning. Well, it is such an exciting thing to open God's Word in Dubai. And my friends who love Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you this morning. You guys are familiar with the Great Commission. I want to declare to you this morning the reason behind the Great Commission. You guys have bombarded, I can tell already, by the fact that the Great Commission has been, and making disciples has been talked about so many times. But I want to stimulate your minds this morning. I want to take us back to the ABCs of Christianity. Is that okay? No. Somebody remove that guy. No, just kidding. Whether it's good or not, I'm going to do it. What I want to do in our time together is I want to stimulate our hearts. I want to reflame our hearts for kingdom purposes. I want to help us to get a reminded view of what our worldview should involve. We can easily live in our little communities and we can forget the bigger picture of what all of this is about, and I want to remind you of that this morning. So if you open your Bibles to Matthew 28... what I want to do is I want to show you four components of this passage. Four components of this passage. How many components?
Four.
Four components of this passage. And I want to help set the stage. I want to help you see it for yourselves. I want to start with the background. And so if you'll go to your Bibles and look with me in verse 16 and 17, I want to read them, and this is the Word of God being read. It says this, but the 11 disciples, forgive me for being a New American Standard Bible guy, I don't know how different it is from your ESV, so forgive me for not using your translation here. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. Most of us here are well acquainted with the last events of the life of Jesus. And when we understand those events, we understand that there were these 12 disciples and other disciples who were following after Jesus Christ with joy and excitement. And in their minds, They understood that this Jesus was claiming to be Israel's Messiah. And they followed Jesus, leaving everything. And they left with an element in their mind, knowing that there was going to be an upside. There was going to be a great upside, because they followed knowing that this King Jesus was going to sit on a throne. And some were saying, I want to sit on the right. Others say, I want to sit on the left. But they all knew that there was a reward in the end. Some of them were even jockeying for these seats of honor. And understand, for 3.5 years, everywhere Jesus went, they went. And you can imagine, they really had no vision or even no knowledge of what they were to do apart from Christ. The day that Jesus Christ died was an absolute shock. You got to remember, just a few days earlier, he comes on a donkey into Jerusalem. Everybody's saying what? Hosanna. Hosanna. And they're going, yeah. This is awesome. He's going to come in. And they're like, they're getting their costumes ready for the big day. He comes into Jerusalem and he dies. When he died, my friends, there was total confusion, total shock among these disciples. And I would suggest to you that at this moment, they have absolutely no understanding of what they're to do next. They were aimless. Remember, they're following Jesus. Now all of a sudden, what do we do? Where do we go? And we know when we read in John 21 that they decide, okay, let's go back to our old ways. Let's go what? Fishing. So these men at this point are in desperate need of new direction. And my friends, the text before us is Jesus Christ, their master, our Messiah, coming before them and giving them what? New direction. Giving them what? New direction. And listen, not only them new direction, but listen, all of us, all disciples who are to come after him, this same new direction. Because he says, lo, I will be with you, what? Always. Even to the end of time. Has the end of time come? It's coming. Thank you very much. It's not come. That means he is still with us. And that means this instruction was not just for them. This instruction was for us and is for us. Can everybody say amen? Amen. And I would suggest you, some of you might even be like these disciples. You are here, maybe from other countries, and you don't even know why you're here. You're like the disciples fishing somewhere. And this is the direction, not just for them. This is the direction for all of us who know Jesus Christ as their Messiah and King. So we have a scenario in which these disciples are asked to go to a hill. This hill is in Galilee. And so envision the scene with me. We are in Galilee. Anybody been to Galilee before? Okay, nobody's godly. No, I'm just kidding. I've been to Israel. In Galilee, there's hills all the way around, and there's a lake right in the middle. And so we have no idea what hill he would have been asked to have come to, but these guys are asked to go to a hill. So you can imagine him going up to this hill, and they're kind of waiting for Jesus to come. And as they're waiting, they're probably thinking about all that's transpired. They're probably wondering what they're to do next. And they come to this hill, and according to this passage, all of a sudden, they see who? They see Jesus. And you can imagine that here he comes as they're looking over the beauties of the Galilean Sea. And here he comes. And you can imagine that there were a few different responses according to our text. According to the text, it says that some what? Some worshiped him, and some were doubtful. I love the honesty of the Bible, how some were doubtful. But we need to understand that many of these disciples who were there, they saw Christ, and when they saw him, their hearts were gripped. And all of a sudden, they begin to worship him. And you say, why did they worship him? Because they knew that Jesus was God. They knew that he was the Messiah. They knew that Jesus had risen from the grave and God was doing something amazing. And they knew that this was the fitting response to Jesus Christ. They knew that their hearts must bend low because this Christ is sent from heaven. So they gave him the appropriate response of worship and adoration, and they extolled him, exalting him. Others, it says, were doubting, and they were doubting because it's not every day someone raises from the dead. They were probably still confused. What is actually happening? And it was hard for them to get their minds around all that had transpired in this week. And there you have it. Jesus comes to them. They respond. And I think what takes place in this text, I think Jesus just walks up this hill and he walks right past them. And when he walks past them, the disciples glue their eyes on him. And Jesus then gives an announcement that we must all hear. You must hear. I must hear. And it must be etched into our hearts. And we must never forget the words that Jesus then proclaims to these disciples. And that brings us to the second component, the announcement. And here's the announcement, my dear brothers and sisters. And this leads us to understand the purpose behind this great commission. Hear it with me and stand with me even as we read. Go ahead, a little weird, but I'm from Africa. Stand up with me. Grab your Bibles and we can read right here. Here is the announcement. You say, why are we standing? Because listen, this is an announcement we all must hear. This is the announcement Dubai must hear. This is the announcement the world must know. And this is what Jesus says to these aimless disciples. He says this. He says, all what? All authority has been what? In heaven and earth has been given to what? To me. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You can sit down. My dear brothers and sisters, Jesus stands before his disciples. And he declares a message. The message is, you don't know what has just happened. But all authority has now been given to me. Both in heaven and on earth. He was saying to him, listen, you thought I was going to be made king of Israel? Oh, my dear friends, I haven't just been made king of Israel. I've been made king of all kings. Amen. He is declaring that he has been given the position over all things, both in heaven and on earth. He is declaring to them that he now has all authority, all power, not just some, not just a little, but all. All power that is in heaven, all power that is on the earth. He has been made King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is now master of the universe. This word authority speaks of the fact that he is now in charge. He has been given control and power over all things. He has been given the right to rule over all of heaven and earth. My dear friends, Jesus Christ is declaring to his disciples that I am now King of the universe. Say, wait, all authority has been given, but given by who? Well, you guys know Philippians 2, right? Philippians 2, which says that for this reason, 2, 9 through 11, for this reason also God highly exalted what? Him. Who's him? Say it with pride. Who's him?
Jesus
Christ. God highly exalted Jesus Christ and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, at the name of every knee will what? Every tongue will what? That Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Here Jesus is declaring to his disciples that he is not just an earthly king. He is a universal king. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, this should not have been a shock to them. As my brother read earlier in Daniel 7, verse 13, it says that there was a prophecy made concerning the Son of Man who was to come. And it says, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a Son of Man was coming. Son of Man was the term that Jesus loved most, because he knew that this was his final position. One like the Son of Man was coming, and he came up to the Ancients of Days, that is the Father, and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. You say, why? Why was he given the kingdom? Listen to these words. So that for the purpose of, so that men, people of all, so that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. Might what?
Serve.
Might what?
Serve.
Yes. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not fade away. My dear friends, I want to play with your worldview. This is the worldview that God would want us to have as believers here in Dubai and around the world, is that we are in his kingdom. Oh, this is his kingdom. This isn't your kingdom. This is his kingdom. He is on a throne over this church. He is on a king over, he is king over this nation. He is on his throne, and we get the joy and the privilege to be part of his kingdom. He is on that throne. He is on that throne. Listen, there is something going on that's far greater than you and me. And that is God the Father is giving the throne to his Son, that he might, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 24 to 28, that he might get everyone underneath him to submit and bend the knee under his majesty. And then he takes that kingdom and he gives it back to the Father. And we are participating in that. The worldview that must drive our thinking, which be eternally etched into our minds, is the worldview that God is King. He is the King of Kings. And that's why we bow our heads in prayer. That's why we go on our knees. Why? Because that is the position in which all who know the King of Kings must go. That is the position every servant of every king in any nation. And we must understand, and this must drive our thinking, it must drive our lives, it must drive our ministries, it must drive everything we are about. And you say, why? Everybody say, why? Why? Great question. It says this. It says, therefore, you see it in verse 9? Teen, do you see it? It says therefore. Take the go, put it after the therefore, and we understand that the therefore, in light of this truth, in light of this truth, in light of the fact that I have been made the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in light of that, now therefore what? Go. Oh, dear friends, the heart and soul of the Great Commission is in light of me being the King of Kings. You now, therefore, must do something. And what is it? You must do three things according to this passage. Three participles. You must go, you must baptize, and you must teach. That's telling us what we need to do. Well, pardon me. We must go, we must therefore must make disciples. That's the verb. We must what? Which brings us to the third component, and that is the instruction. The instruction. In verse 19 and 20, here we see the instruction being given to us, and the instruction is therefore make disciples. Therefore what? Everybody, therefore what? Make what? Okay, you students, theological cats. What is making a disciple? What is a disciple? Ooh. A what? A part of me, a follower? Pause. I am the King of Kings. Now make what? Rather than just saying disciples, let's use a different word. Go make followers. Are we seeing the connection? We are to go into the world and make what? I am the King. Go into this world and make what? Followers. Make followers. There's the instruction. There is the command. There is what we are to do. We are to, according to verse 18, and read it with me. And Jesus said, come, and it says, I'm sorry, verse 19, 18 and 19. Here we go. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. Here is the instruction. The instruction is go make followers of what? All nations. What an awesome church this is. Because this is a church that is surrounded by that commission. But we need to understand what the commission is. The commission is to make followers of Him who is the King. You have a job. You have been given a responsibility. Your responsibility is go make followers of Jesus Christ. Go make followers of all nations. Of those in Asia. And those in Africa, and those in the Middle East, go make followers of Him. My dear friends, you have a responsibility. Do you see it? The King of Kings, Jesus Himself, the Master, has come to you as His disciples and say, I have a responsibility for you. For you. For you. And that responsibility is go make followers of what? Me. Woo! Thank you very much. Go make followers of me. Oh, friends, can I tell you what the world needs? Can I tell you what your neighbor needs? And I don't care what religious person he is. I don't care what his background is. I can tell you exactly what he needs. He needs to follow Jesus. The world is crying out, as we sang in this song, for Jesus. He's crying out for Jesus. They need Jesus. And they not just need him in name. Africa's got the name of Jesus. Unfortunately, the name has been polluted with a different Jesus, a one of health, wealth, and prosperity. My friends, he's not coming to be Santa Claus. This is not a declaration that I'm Santa Claus. This is a direct declaration that I am King. And the souls of people must understand that. And the solution of people and the joy that they will receive is when they follow him. And that's our mission. For the joy of those around, oh, bring them to follow him. Say, Shannon, help me understand something. How do we do that? Well, that's why he gives the three participles. Going, baptizing, and following. That's how we're to do it. My friends, you are to go. Go everywhere. You see, Christ saved us for a purpose according to 1 Peter chapter 2. He saved us that we may proclaim the excellencies of him. Go everywhere. Proclaim Jesus. He's the King. He's the King. He's the King. And call everyone everywhere to follow after him. Because you love them. And that's their greatest need. That's their greatest need, oh brothers and sisters. That is their greatest need. My dear friends, understand. Thank you very much. That's what I'm looking for. That we need to go. That is, go everywhere. Go to your neighbors. Go to your work. Go everywhere. And then when we go, we're to what? We're to get them to be baptized. That is, they are to bend the knee. They are to die to themselves. And what? Raised to live for who? They are to die to and raised to live for. That's what baptism is. And then what are we to do? Look at what it says. We are to what? Teach them what? Hold on. Come on with me. Look at verse 20. We are to what? Pardon. We're just teach them. Is that what it says? We're to teach them to what? You see, friends, listen. We have misunderstood this in our little theological worlds. We have thought that our commission is simply to teach them. Oh, that would be easy. That's not the commission. The commission is teach them to what? Observe. Teach them to bend the knee in all areas of their life and follow after Jesus Christ. My friends, listen. The call of the Great Commission is to not call people to say a prayer. It's not a call to just get them to love Jesus' name. It is a call that calls men from everywhere to bend the knee under Jesus' lordship, to change their lifestyles. We are calling them to observe Christ, to follow him. If he is Lord, and he is, then we must what? Follow him. You cannot say he is a king and deny his rule. If he is the King of Kings, and he is, then all people everywhere in the name of Christianity are calling to what? Follow after him. And isn't that how we got our name? We were called little Christs. That's what Christianity is. Because we're all followers of Jesus Christ. My dear friends, I want you to understand that our goal of our ministry is not eloquent messages. It's not to get people to laugh. It's to get people to follow after Jesus Christ for their good and for his glory. Oh, and listen, they are in relationship to each other. When the world sees that I love my wife, they ask, why does he love his wife? Well, why do I love my life? Because Jesus is my what? King. And therefore, when I obey him as king, what happens? God is what? Glorified. They go, wow, he's a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's why the joy, that's why the happiness. My brothers, my sisters, our job is to go into this world and get all people everywhere to follow after Jesus in all areas of their life, in all that I have what? Commanded you. And let me tell you, this is hard. Because see, your job is to go to your brother and sister in Christ. See, anyone a Christian in this room, your job is to get into their life and help them what? Follow Christ. You see, here's God's way right here. And as long as we are following him, we have joy. As long as we are following, we exalt God. And we're to go and help each other stay right on this task. That's your job to your brother and sister in this room. Someone wants to say, ah, get out of my business. You say, it is my what? Business. My job for your good and God's glory is to keep you walking right here. If you claim Christ, then you follow him. If you're not following him and you claim Christ, we're going to help you to follow him. Amen? See, we want everyone everywhere because we know that following Christ is the best. Everybody say that following Christ is the? Yes. Following Christ is the? Yes. Never forget it. Don't listen to the lie that says sin is better. Don't listen to it. Following Christ is the? And that's what we're calling people to do. And listen, this journey is hard. This journey is painful. Because we have many people who love their sin. Many people who are lazy. Many people who are rebellious against the King. So our ministry is hard, but there is a promise, the fourth component. And the promise is this. I will be with you what? And listen, these words in Greek are beautiful. I, myself, I personally will be with you, what? Always. Oh, dear friends, as you carry out your ministry, Christ will be with you. Men, can I tell you where this starts? It starts at home. Helping align your family under Christ, helping teach your kids about the King. Let your worldview understand God is King. And may we help our children follow Him. May we help our wives follow Him. May we ourselves model following Him in all areas, at all costs, for our good and His glory. And listen, He will be with you. You always. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you who is the King of Kings. And Lord, I pray that everyone here would understand the magnificence of that, that their worldviews would be affected to that end. Lord, that everything they do today, they would wonder, is that what the King wants me to do? Is my attitude of anger, is that what the King wants? Is my pride what the King wants? Am I distracting people from the King or am I bringing people to Him? Oh, living God, teach us for our good and your glory to help people in all areas follow after you. Oh, living God, may you take the preaching of your word and may you inflame it in our hearts. For the praise of your name we pray. Amen.